Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I have spoken at a bunch of messages and a bunch of sermons. I've preached a lot of sermons here at Healing Place. Have been fortunate and so blessed to be a part of so many special Sundays like Mother's Day and Father's Day and Easter and Christmas and Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those who've served. Those are always special times for us as a church. And as a pastor, you enjoy those moments. One of the hardest messages I've ever given or was able to speak was a Mother's Day message about 14, 15 years ago. It's not because of the content or the message or, it was a tough, receiving it or the crowd. What it was is it was weeks after my own mother had passed away. I still felt in my heart that I was supposed to speak that Sunday. And that was a hard message. I remember that was hard. It was hard to get through. I thought I could do better getting through, and I ended up just not hardly being able to get through that day, just thinking about my own mother and the things that she had walked through. My mother had her share of pain. Just watching her life, and as I got older, understanding pain, understanding what people go through as you get older. And my mother had her share of pain. My dad, her dad, when she was 9 years old, walked out on her and moved in with another woman right down the street. And so my mother had to be raised in that situation where right down the street her father was with another woman. And she was raised mostly by her aunt and her grandmother, and just the pain of walking through that. My mother was married young, and my dad had a few self-centered years where he didn't act right before I was born and before my sisters were born. But God healed that, and God restored their marriage. My mother had 10 miscarriages. She was pregnant 13 times. I was her 13th pregnancy, and they said that it was the last time they were going to go for it. And I'm glad they swung one more time. Can I have an amen? And they connected. And so I'm glad that took place. But my mother, carried the weight of wondering about that. She was a caregiver to her mother for about a year, year and a half. Matter of fact, my mother moved in with her mother for about 5 months. Her mother had brain cancer, and she came home from the hospital and didn't want to put her in a nursing home. So my mother cared for her own mother, and we watched that take place, and I was right there with her. Then later in life, my mother had her share of sickness. And when my father passed away, she was a widow for 7 years before my mother was diagnosed with cancer. And when she was diagnosed with cancer, the doctors called us in. We gathered around. They said, you have about 2 years, maybe 1 year, that your mother will live. But we're going to try some things and going to try to prolong her life. And my mother passed away 8 weeks later. So she had tough times. My mother went through a lot of different things, and I watched her walk through tough times. At times it made her a little on the edge. There were times that my mother had negative seasons in her life, just working through some of that pain. There were times that she had trust issues, not knowing if she could trust anyone because of a lot of the letdowns that she'd experienced in her life. There were times that she had a bitter outlook about life. And when we talked about the future, she didn't think much about the future. She was just working through the pain of yesterday. But somewhere after my father died, something changed in my mother, and her outlook changed a little bit to me. And what I discovered later was that her love and the time that she spent in God's word was amazing. Right before my father passed away, my mother bought a 1-year Bible, and she spent every single day reading that Bible. In the last 5 years of her life, she poured herself into the Word of God. She got more involved with church. She got involved with a senior adult group. And you can see that her countenance changed. I mean, it was amazing how I still have that 1-year Bible. I looked at it the other day. I have it at my home. And how worn out it is. And how she had written all over that Bible after reading Scripture and being encouraged. And all the notes that she had in about my sisters and myself. And she battled a lot. But here's the one thing I realized. At the end of her life, she had an amazing peace from God Almighty. You know what my mother was able to do? Even though she went through pain, even though she had seasons, even though when she looked back on her life, not everything was perfect, not everything happened the way maybe that she wanted it to happen, my mother, at the end of her life, could smile at the future. As uncertain as it was, she was able to face tomorrow with a joy. And I believe that joy was from God. You know, I love Proverbs chapter 31. It's interesting how the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It's called that, the book of wisdom. What's interesting about this book of wisdom, that it ends with a tribute and a truth to a woman who trusted in the wisdom of God. And ultimately, no matter what she went through, she decided she was going to fear God and totally put her trust in God Almighty. And what's amazing about Proverbs 31 is it tells us about the rewards of a woman or a family that puts their trust in God Almighty, no matter the storms, no matter the challenges, no matter the seasons that they go through, they make a decision. This woman in Proverbs chapter 31, she did that. Boy, it's an encouragement to us. If you've got your Bible, I want to read to you about this woman. I call it a P31 woman. P31 woman. And that's my prayer for you today, is that you're a P31 woman. Let's read this in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies, or a virtuous woman. Verse 11. Her husband have full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Goes on to say, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. I love this verse. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh all at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Can I have a good amen? Amen. That is a great scripture. I read that several times over the last several weeks, and there was one verse that really hit me, and that's verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. It was that phrase. She can laugh at the days to come. In the NLT, it says this. She laughs with no fear of the future. So think about that. She laughs with no fear of the future. What's a promise? But I love how the New American Standard says it. And she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. You know, when you read Proverbs 31, I've heard people teach on it. Delinda's thought about it. I can remember several times being in meetings that someone taught about Proverbs 31. I've taught on it several times as it relates to Mother's Day and other times. You go line upon line and you start looking at all the goals that this woman had, this P31 woman was about. And you look at all the different things. And as you read those line upon line of that P31 woman, it paints a big challenge. And they're lofty goals. And you wonder, how in the world can I do all that? Now, I don't know know if I'm that kind of woman. I don't know if I'm up that early. I don't know if I'm supplying that much wool for the house. You know, I just don't know about all those kind of things. How do you be a woman that does those things and take care of the family, helps the husband and helps with the resources and is there for the poor and the needy? How do all these things take place? Well, you and I both know that without the grace of God, there's no way. I mean, Proverbs 31 and the picture that this woman is, this P31 woman, it is a tough act to follow once you read that. I want you to hear something about this original P31 woman. Who is this? Who is it that we're talking about here? Who is being described here? Almost every scholar believes that Solomon wrote Proverbs 31. Even though it begins with this greeting of King Lemuel, but most scholars believe that that was a nickname. That was another phrase that people called King Solomon. And so most people believe that Solomon was writing about his own experience with his own mother, that he's describing who his mother was to him. That would mean, and that would tell us then, that who this Proverbs 31 woman is and who this is describing is none other than Bathsheba. Because that's who Solomon's mother was. Now, what you think about that? Bathsheba is not a popular name to name your daughter. I've never run into a Bathsheba. I saw in the paper this week how they had the most popular names. I think Emma was on there and Isabella. Bathsheba didn't even make it. You just don't. Why? Because of what she represents and the struggle that went on in her life. You just think about the context of what the writer is saying. Bathsheba hardly had a perfect and a virtuous life record. She had a hard life. There were moments in her beginning that were very painful. So in light of that, when you think about Proverbs chapter 31 and you think about what it means to be a P31 woman, you can see that if Solomon is writing about his mother who had some pain of her own, who had some struggle of her own, who made some poor choices herself and had others around her that made poor choices, you and I can be encouraged because like her, neither did most of us have perfect lives. We all have sinned. All of us fallen short. Everyone's gone astray. Everybody in this room has experienced pain. Yet because of what Christ did on the cross for you, sister, mom, daughter, grandmother, aunt, guess what Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says? That though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. You can hide yourself in the work of Jesus Christ, and our virtue is not found in our good works. Our virtue is not found in our perfection. Our virtue is found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Who can be a virtuous woman? Who can be a P31 woman? The lady, the daughter, the sister, the mom, who decides, I'm going to hide myself in the work of Jesus Christ. That's why, even though life is not perfect, that's why, even though we've had some struggles, that's why, even though there's been some battles, you and I can smile at the future. Because we can smile at the future because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. You know how we have a future? Because of what Christ did. God provided a future for us. I love Proverbs chapter 31. I love how it tells us that this woman decides that I'm not going to fear the future. I'm going to smile at my future. Why? Because my future is in Him. My future's in Him. It's not in my husband. It's not in my children. It's not in my workplace. It's not in my resources. It's not in the changing nature of my life. It's not in my home. It's not in my car. It's not in my appearance. My future is in Him. And if my future's in Him, no matter what happens around me, I can smile at the future. Why? Because I'm smiling at Him, knowing that He's with me. There's a story that Coach Bill McCartney tells when he went through a transition in his life. Coach Bill McCartney was the football coach of the University of Colorado when they won a national championship, and they went on to lead Promise Keepers. And since then, he went through a transition in his life and got out of that and began to lead this thing called Road to Jerusalem, which is about, you know, making a difference to Messianic Jews. And now has gone back involved with Promise Keepers for about 10 to 12 years. He's been somewhat of a mentor to our church and been a friend of our church and prays for Dylan and I every day. He tells a story about a transitional time in his life when he stepped out of coaching Division I. Many people wondered, why would you step out of coaching a Division I football team, powerhouse, when you were at the height of your career? What made you do that? Was it another job opportunity? Was it a health issue? He tells a story of what caused him to step out of that limelight. Says he went to church one Sunday and realized there was a guest speaker. He was wondering about that. What's the guest speaker about? Didn't really know if he wanted to even stay. But he stayed, and this guest evangelist began to speak. And he started talking about family. He started talking about what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife. And he made a statement. This is what this guest speaker stated. He said, if you want to know about a man's character, if you want to know about a man's character, then look into the face of his wife. Whatever he has invested in or withheld from her will be reflected in her countenance. He said he turned to his wife, Lindy, and there was no splendor on her face, but her countenance looked haunted. It was empty. You know what he later said? It was empty due to my selfishness and my sinful neglect of my wife. He said that day he left church, he walked her, put her in the car, sat down in his car, and decided, I'm going to resign as the head football coach for the University of Colorado. And I'm going to take the few years that I have left, and I'm going to get splendor on her face. That's serious. Splendor on her, the countenance. Proverbs 31 says that her countenance smiles at the future. Her countenance smiles at the future. Brother Wayne reminded me of something that's so true. Many of you know when Moses goes up on the hill and he spends time with God, he has an encounter with God. The Bible says he comes off the mountain, and what happens? His countenance has changed. See, when you spend time with him, and you look to him for your future, your countenance will change. If all you're doing is looking at circumstances, and if all you're doing is looking at what's around you, your countenance will not smile. Your countenance will be a frown. She smiles at the future. I told you that for two reasons. Why did I tell you that story about Coach McCarty? Two reasons. Here's the first one. Because this is something I want to say to men. I want to say this to every man, every husband, every son, every brother. I want to encourage you to do the same. Here's my question for you. Is your wife smiling at the future? Do you see splendor on your wife's face? Do you see it on her face? What about her countenance? Do you see splendor on her countenance? See, I believe that the degree that you serve her is the degree that there will be splendor on her face. If you want to see splendor, then I encourage you to serve her in the name of Jesus. You say, well, Dino, this is Mother's Day. Why you got to get on the brothers for? Aren't you getting on the women in the house? I mean, I had a couple other sermons this week that I was going to try out. I had one that was called, Woman, Love Your Man. I had a couple other ones like, Woman, kiss your man on the mouth when you see him. Woman, mamas, have that meal ready when your man pulls in the driveway. Say no to TV dinners. I had all kinds of sermons. Get his slippers ready. Call him Lord when he walks in. Bible says Sarah feared Abraham, called him Lord. Dylan hadn't received that message yet. But I felt a halt on all of that. You say, well, Dino, she's not serving me. She's not taking care of me. You and I will not stand before God. Hear me, listen to me, man. We are not going to stand before God and be able to say, Lord, you know about that woman you gave me? And he's not going to look back and say, talk to me. I couldn't have lived with her either. I can tell you, he ain't going to say that. You're not going to be able to go before the Lord and say, but Lord, you don't understand how she treated me. You don't understand how she acted. You don't understand how she, you know, every time she washed my undershirts. You don't understand how every morning I tried to find socks. Lord, you don't know. Lord's not going to say, I know, man, I couldn't find me no socks either. The Lord will not say that to you. Man, listen to me. He's going to look at you and say, what did you do? He's not going to have your wife by you. I'm not going to be able to go up and say, hold up. Delaney, come on up here. Tell him how good I was. Come on, help me out, girl. It's not going to work that way. It's going to be every single one of us will give an account before Jesus Almighty all by ourselves. Can't bring nobody else in the room. Can't make an excuse. What about, what about, what about? There will be no whatabouts before the great throne judgment of Jesus Christ. We will stand alone before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the only thing we can clothe ourselves is in mercy and grace. That is it. So the question is, are you serving your wife? Because as you serve, there will be splendor. As you serve, there will be splendor. Has nothing to do with how she responds back to me. It has everything to do with me standing before God with clean hands that I served with everything in my heart. Here's a second reason why I think it's so important that I told that story about Coach Bill McCartney is this right here. Ladies, no matter what goes on in your life, I want to encourage you today. You can smile at your days to come. Decide to trust in God. Your future is in Christ. And that future is solid, certain, and secure. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter what is going on, no matter who has done what or what someone has not done, make a decision. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep believing because Christ can sustain me. Can I tell you something? The devil wants every single mom in this room to live impatient, to live frustrated, to live focused on everything that's tough and hard, to live fearful. See, one of the reasons why we can't smile at the future is because of the fear of the future. And I'll tell you something else. The devil has an all-out vision for every woman in this house. He wants you to live totally stressed out. Come on, somebody. Because if you're stressed out, you can't smile at the future. Because you can't smile and be stressed out all in the same breath. Because that angry, mad smile don't count. We're all the men out. Now it's time to be strong. Don't back off now, brothers. Amen to that. Y'all know that angry smile? Oh, okay. See, that don't count. It's called that mad smile. A smile doesn't count if you're gritting your teeth. That's not what a P31 woman is. Smiling at the future while gritting her teeth. Can you smile at your future? Can you smile at your future? I'm here to tell you that you can smile at the future. Why? Because He is your future. In Him we live and breathe and have our being. It's in Him. Choose today to have a Christ-centered outlook. And because He lives, I can smile at my future. I want to encourage you. You are never, never, never alone. Make a decision to be a P31 woman, smiling at the future.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.